So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom coming at you loud and clear in a brand new year, and a new decade, I may add as well. We are now into the third decade, kind of like the second and third centuries, even though it's 2020. It is now the beginning of the third decade of this century and of this new millennium. And I hope you all had a very safe and happy New Year's and that everything went well for you. I had a little bit of an issue on New Year's Day. I decided that since it was New Year's Day, pretty much nobody would be on the road and it would be a perfect day to get out and run some papers. So I drove to my route, which is about 35, 40 miles away. It's a good distance to get to that route and then run and come back, but it pays extremely well. I get about $220 for a day's worth of work, which is not bad at all. So I get in this neighborhood, and I stop for a second to kind of put some more papers up on the dash. I notice the cars seem to be idling just a smidgen rough, but I wasn't too sure. A couple blocks up the road, I notice she's running really, really rough, and I look down, and there's my check engine light flashing. And it wasn't just on like you get from an O2 sensor. I mean, it was flashing. Boom, 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 boom. Just like I had last spring when my spark plugs needed to be replaced and one of my coils was bad. So I knew that's what I had. I had a bad coil because I had four new plugs and one new coil, three more coils to go. I knew one was bad. So I limped on home and I went over to the place where I get my work done just to see if there was a sign that said they might be open the day after New Year's. Well, the place wasn't even there anymore. So I'm like, oh, geez, now what am I going to do? So this is New Year's Day. I've still got all this stuff to do. And I was ahead of schedule, too. I had split it up between 2 days because it's about a 10-hour route. Normally, I got to run this in one day. But here I had the option of splitting it up between three. So I was going to do it in 2 days. Ahead of schedule. Had plenty of time to do an extra neighborhood on the first day. Second day, not bad at all. Nope. So I call my supervisor, who's a shade tree mechanic, and explain what had happened. I said, can you help me out? He goes, yeah, I'll be over at my house at 9 o'clock in the morning. So I get over there, we take everything apart, and sure enough, we can see which coil is new, so we know which ones to replace. So we go to the auto parts place, and he's got a discount, so it saved me $30. Not a whole lot, but hey, that's significant. It still cost me $240 for three coils. So we get back over there, and we're trying to put the air intake back in place, replace the coils and everything. Nope, no big deal. Just a question of pulling them off, putting the new ones on. That's awesome. It's just that it takes like 10 minutes to get everything apart and then much, much longer to put it back together, particularly when it's the first time working on this particular car that you haven't worked on before. You got to kind of figure it out because it's a little bit different. So we go to put the air intake, the plenum and everything back on, the manifold, I guess you call it, the intake manifold. And the screw just wouldn't go in. And he's fiddling with the screw. And he goes, I can't get it to catch. I said, well, let me try. You know, because I'm used to feeling around and stuff. I got pretty good touch in my fingers. So I get it in there and I swear it's in. And I can't get it either. So after about 15 minutes of both of us trying to work on this, and my thumb and forefinger just absolutely sore and raw from pinching on the head of these bolts. He goes, wait a minute, there's only four of these things. There's supposed to be five. And we look all around, and he's looking. And on the left side, we see five bolts. And so those four longer, thinner bolts that we were trying to get into these holes were for the carburetor. So we got the right bolts, and then, hey, amazingly, magically, they went back in. So that was problem number one solved. So doing okay, we got everything back together and fired up, and it seemed to run okay. Back it out of his driveway, and it seemed to be running a little rough. Get it out on the road, and it's doing the same thing, and the light starts flashing again. So I turned around, went back, and he still happened to be standing in his garage. He goes, what's the matter? I said, it's doing the same thing. He's like, oh, man. So he pulls out his diagnostic, puts it on, and this time, instead of just showing cylinder 2 being bad, no, it's showing 1 and 2. So I'm out of the frying pan and into the fire. I went from bad to worse. So we had to take everything apart all over again. So he's like, well, you know, sometimes you do get bad coils from the factory. I'm like, 2 out of 3? He goes, I don't know what happens. So let's swap 1 and 2 with 3 and 4, because we know 3 and 4 are good. So we take the time, unbolt them, swap them around, and I happen to notice that one of the wiring clips on cylinder number 1 underneath is loose. I mean, it was completely off. So I pushed it back on. I'm like, what's that for? He said, well, it's for your fuel injector. I said, well, okay, I think that was the problem with cylinder number 1. Let's hope that cylinder number 2 was just a bad connection. We didn't have it pushed down right. So I pushed on everything, made sure everything was good and tight, and wiggled it. Put everything back together, snugged it up so it wasn't totally tight. So if we didn't have it, had to take it back apart again, it was not quite as difficult. Got everything put back together, it fired right up. This car has not run so smooth in I don't know how many years. So between it not getting fuel to one of the cylinders and the other plug being loose, that's what it was. But so that's how I started my New Year's off. Not too terribly good, but was able to turn it around. I hope that's not an indication for the rest of the year. But hope that everybody else had a really good New Year and that you didn't have any problems with your car breaking down on a holiday when nobody's open. So let's get into the news now. As you are well aware, there was another church shooting last week, and this time it was stopped in its tracks. It was stopped cold by an armed church volunteer who shot the perpetrator in the head and killed him. I want to cover that. It's very important because it's time that more of this started happening. Gun-free zones are a load of crap, and here's why. This is a perfect example of why they do not work. Now, we've seen an alarming increase in the number of mass shootings recently, or semi-mass shootings, all occur in gun-free zones. Theaters, shopping malls, churches, synagogues, public schools in particular, nightclubs, all places where you can't carry a gun to defend yourself. Except in this case, that was not the case, and it was ended as soon as it started. Now, there was a large church shooting. I think 22 people were killed in 2018 in Texas. And the governor signed a bill into law that allowed people to carry armed in churches if the churches said it was okay. Now, here in North Carolina, that's already a done deal. A church is not a gun-free zone like a school is. Businesses have to post. There are certain places where you cannot carry. Places that serve alcohol, schools, and public buildings. You know, especially federal buildings. And banks. Now, there are some states, believe it or not, I know Virginia used to, I don't know if they still do, but Virginia allowed you to carry inside of a bank. It was up to the bank to post it. But here in North Carolina, no banks, no public buildings, no schools, no places that serve alcohol. But other than that, you're free to go. If you want to carry in church, as long as it's okay with your church, it's fine. To my knowledge, there have been no attempted church shootings here in North Carolina, specifically for that reason. Well, this guy came in to this church in aptly named White Settlement, Texas. I have been through there, and I want to say it's out past Dallas and Fort Worth area. I don't honestly remember. I just know I've been through there. But that's not important. Here's what is important. A pistol-packing churchgoer used his gun to take out a shooter before more people were killed and before this small tragedy turned into a much larger tragedy. So this was all captured. It was streaming live. So it's very, very horrible that this went out. I mean, these two people were killed. This guy came into the church and he was already being watched because he was wearing a long coat and he was wearing sunglasses and a fake beard. So people knew something was up. So they kind of had their eye on him. All of a sudden he stood up, pulled out a sawed-off shotgun and fired two shots. And unfortunately, he killed two parishioners. And this is just happening way too often, folks. Way, way, way too often. These places of worship are being targeted. I really don't care what your faith is, whether you're Christian, whether you're Jewish, whether you're Muslim. You don't go into a church or a synagogue or whatever it is the Muslims pray at, one of those tall tower things, and kill people. That's just a cowardly way to do it. But again, this went down. It was streaming live. And Jack Wilson, the guy who pulled the trigger, he's a 71-year-old former reserve deputy sheriff, and he took him out with a single shot to the head. And this was in, it says, the Fort Worth suburb of White Settlement. Okay, so that tells me that's why I thought it was somewhere around Dallas-Fort Worth, so it's part of Fort Worth. But Wilson said that, "I don't see myself as a hero. I see myself as doing what needed to be done to take out the evil threat." Well, when you're properly trained, that's what happened. Now, my understanding is that initially, he couldn't get that shot off immediately as soon as he saw the threat because there were people in the way. If you remember the original Dirty Harry, where he got on the plane and he was getting ready to shoot at the bad guy through the wall there in the plane, that moron stood up and stood right in his way and he said, "Get down." So he had to wait for people to clear. As soon as it was clear, he pulled the trigger, took him out with a single shot to the head. And he went up and he kind of checked the guy and make sure that he was no longer a threat. And the guy was kind of twitching a little bit, which is normal. If you've ever seen someone shot in the head, it's just reflexes that kick in. Even though you're dead, you're still going to be doing stuff, just like a snake will move for hours sometimes after you kill it. But here's the thing. Not only was this guy a former law enforcement officer, he was, I believe, a former reserve deputy. He also provides firearms training to members of the church who volunteer to help with security within the sanctuary. And he also has his own gun range. So this guy kind of picked the wrong church to pick on. But Mr. Wilson was standing at the rear of the church during communion when the suspect, who witnesses again said was wearing a fake beard and sunglasses, I mean, come on, don't let something like that in your church. And this went down just before 11 a.m. He confronted a church official. And this whole thing was streaming live, and suddenly the guy pulled out the short-barreled shotgun and shot two churchgoers. And then Wilson, of course, killed him. And one of the church deacons, Tony Wallace, was 64. He was one of the victims. And the second victim has been confirmed as Richard, who went by Rich White, and he was 67 years old. And he lived in River Oaks, which is nearby. And he was also an armed member of the church's volunteer security team. But unfortunately, he did not have a chance to get to his weapon. But a family member said that Rich constantly put others first and was always willing to help with a smile on his face. He'd been an Eagle Scout. He was a lover of adventure and all things outdoors. He was a strong man of faith and a devoted member to the West Freeway Church of Christ community. And Britt Farmer, who is a senior minister of the church, said, "We lost two great men, and it could have been a lot worse." Well, you see, that's the difference. Yes, it could have been a lot worse. Just like it was at Sandy Hook, like it was at the Pulse nightclub, just like it was at this other church a year and a half ago. This time it was stopped before it could go any further. And this is what the anti-gunners just don't get. You need guns to stop gun violence. Banning guns does not stop the violence, folks. All it does is prevent people from legally being able to defend themselves. And this piece of scum here that committed the crime apparently had a rap sheet longer than all of our arms put together. He had no business being on the street, certainly had no business being able to have a gun. And this was not a legal gun, by the way, folks. This was a sawed-off shotgun. He illegally had a gun that was illegal to own in the first place without special permits and licensing. But getting back to what Mr. Wilson did, he said that in the chaos, he drew his handgun and paused to prevent shooting people standing in his line of fire. There were people in front of me between the shooter and myself. I had to wait for just a second because the whole thing was less than 6 seconds from start to finish, and I had to make sure I didn't hit a member as they were right in front of me. Well, again, proper training. And last Sunday, the White Settlement Chief of Police, a guy by the name of J.P. Bevering, initially said a second church member had also opened fire, but it was confirmed on Monday that Wilson was the only one who fired a shot. And if you look at the live stream of the incident, other worshippers are seen drawing their weapons as well. This was not going to go down very well for the perp. But Wilson said, "I only fired one round. It was the only shot I had, which was a headshot. In my classes, I teach not to take headshots, but that was the only shot that I had that was a clear shot, and I was comfortable with taking the shot because of my training and my practice." And he said that once he took out the suspect, he walked over to him to make sure that he was not going to get up. And he didn't. And Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton had this to say: "I hope through this tragedy, more churches will prepare like this church did, not just in Texas, but across the country." And when he was asked by reporters if he was politicizing the church shooting by promoting the state's new laws that had been signed in by the governor, which eased the restrictions on firearms, and this also included removing a cap on the number of armed marshals allowed on school campuses and prohibiting landlords from banning tenants from having guns in their apartments, Ken Paxton responded, "If we end up saving a life, that's darn worth it to me." Awesome, awesome politician, a man who is true to the United States Constitution, someone who believes in the Constitution and upholding the laws that it protects and the people that it protects. We need more people like him in office. And remember what the liberals are always saying. Ken Paxton said the same thing. If it just saves one life, well, let's use their words against them. Yes, folks, if it saves one life, then let's arm every man, woman, and child in this country so we can keep it safe and free. Gotta take a commercial break. I will be back in a couple of minutes. Stick around.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Robb. Have you ever thought of remembering the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, your will or trust? We are deeply appreciative of the help and support our friends have given to this important work over the years. The support towards this holy mission of bringing a message of hope and deliverance to our people must continue, even after you are gone. Our race, faith, and nation are worth every sacrifice we can make. We must continue the struggle until America has been delivered from the vice of death. Our children are depending on it. Email me at jasonrobb@windstream.net, and I will help you to continue your fight for our future upon your death.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
They have been mistreated and misunderstood for generations. Abusive owners have done severe damage and given these beautiful creatures a bad reputation. Every day, millions suffer from misuse and neglect. But you can make a difference by giving a gun a loving home. These guns want nothing more than to adore and protect you And Blackstone Shooting Sports wants to match you with a new gun and a new addition to your family. The friendly and professional staff at Blackstone are experts and know how to find the perfect firearm to fit your lifestyle. And Blackstone Shooting Sports has the kind of guns that need a loving home more than anything else, like AK-47s, AR-15s, and the best and biggest selection of handguns in government. So please, have a heart, and don't let a gun spend another night on a cold, dusty shelf.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Last segment of the show to kind of go over the U.S. airstrike last week that killed Soleimani. Now, this was done in Baghdad, Iraq, at their airport, and it was with full cooperation of Iraq. Now, we took out, without a doubt, the top terrorist in the entire world. He was number two in Iran. He's the top-ranking general, but he held many offices. He wore many hats. And taking him out would be the equivalent of the United States losing Mike Pence, the head of the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Justice, all taken out in one fell swoop. That's what we did when we took this guy out. It was not an assassination. It was the removal of a terrorist in a country where we had every right to be and to act and operate. Now, supposedly, Iraq has voted that they're going to expel U.S. forces out of Iraq. Yeah, give me a break. That ain't going to happen. And all this talk about retaliation, well, first of all, they did something really stupid. They issued a list of potential strike zones. That's just dumb. You don't win a war by doing that. I mean, that's like the world chess champion telling everybody beforehand the moves he's going to make. That's just dumb, folks. You don't do that. So Iran made a huge blunder there in issuing the places that they're supposedly going to possibly target. That ain't going to happen. Now, they may very well target someplace in Europe or South America. They're too cowardly to do it here in a typical 9/11 strike, or like the Japanese did. They're just too chicken to do that. They can't do that. And they know that that would evoke a direct declaration of war, which they have no way of winning, no hope in winning. For God's sakes, folks, let's look back to Desert Storm. Shock and awe. That war was over in a week. Even the Russians said they had no idea of the technology that we had, and they had to seriously rethink their strategies. They were so far behind. They had no idea that we were so far ahead. My friends, we have just gone leaps and bounds since then. This would be over in a matter of hours, just like a civil uprising would be over in a matter of hours here in this nation, should the Democrats continue doing what they're doing. Iran knows better than to provoke us into a full-scale war. It's not going to happen, because then we're not going to be battling insurgents and trying to leave the good guys and take out the bad guys. No, we would come in and we would bomb them right off the freaking face of the earth. So all this caterwauling that's going on now, all the hand-wringing from the left, it's not going to happen. Donald Trump hasn't provoked anything. All he did was take the opportunity to let them know, don't mess with us. This is on a commercial driving rig, which you call preventative maintenance. Donald Trump doesn't want a war. But with all the previous presidents we've had, particularly Barack Obama, handing practically everything over to Iran and paying them off to not do anything, when we issue a threat, nobody believes it anymore. So now we have to go and take these measures so that they understand when we say something, we mean business. And my friends, Donald Trump means business. Now, don't get me wrong. The Iranians are going to make some sort of half-hearted or half-assed attempt at retaliation here. They will strike out, but they're not going to do anything major. The problem is we have reached out and touched someone, but they're not going to learn their lesson. Very few leaders over the years have learned their lesson. I can think of a couple of examples. Japan learned their lesson. They will never, ever attempt anything like Pearl Harbor again. And Muammar Gaddafi learned his lesson. When Reagan went in and tried to take him out and took members of his family instead, that shut him up. And I'm not going to say that by the end he was an ally of the U.S., but he had changed his attitude considerably. Iran's not going to do that. They're stupid. They're just going to keep doing what they're doing until they're taught a major lesson. This was a warning. They're not going to heed that warning. It's going to take something much stronger, and when that happens, I'll guarantee you they're not going to like it. But of course, you immediately had the left wringing their hands over all this, saying that Trump has started this and that there's just going to be hell to pay. Well, let me tell you something, folks. As long as man has been on the face of this earth, there have been conflicts. I'm sure you can find a cave painting somewhere that depicts two guys throwing rocks at each other. It's just always has been and always will be. It's never going to change. The problem is that there are certain types of people in this world who are more prone to violence and do not learn from their mistakes. And this is who we're dealing with at the moment. But rest assured, this is not going to turn into a major global catastrophe. This will not trigger World War III. Iran is hated and despised in the Middle East. Everyone hates them. Under Barack Obama and his dumb policies, trying to buy them off and giving them all kinds of money for them to develop their long-range missile systems and to develop nuclear weapons, they would have, at some point in time, they would have invaded Iraq, they would have invaded Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, Syria. Trust me, folks, they would have done this. Donald Trump has eviscerated those plans, so right now they're sulking, they're hurting, and they're striking back because we were so mean and we picked on them and we put all these sanctions on them, so they're just striking back and we're supposed to let them do it because we were so mean. Let me tell you something. It's exactly why we put Donald Trump in the White House. And on that note, I am out of time for this week, my friends. So I will be back next week, as always. And oh, I do apologize for not doing a show last week. I just was so behind with everything that I just needed some time. So that's why I reran the old one on guns. It's still very fitting. Hope you all enjoyed hearing that again. But back again this week, back again next week. And as always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Stay safe. Stay vigilant. Stay free. Stay awake. But by all means, please stay tuned, because I'll be back next week. Y'all take care. It's been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.